Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today for the podcast. How are you doing out there? Are you feeling a little stressed, a little uneasy? Right now, things are just up in the air, aren't they? There are so many things that can bring us closer to the feeling of reassurance and comfort and security. A lot of those things are being questioned right now. So many of the things that you might have taken for granted, of course, now we're questioning, will they come back? But at the same time, we might even question, did we want them in the first place? And one of those things is habits. Habits can be reassuring, helpful, comforting. They can really get us somewhere magnificent long term if we do a small thing many times over a duration of time, we can get wonderful results. For example, a tiny habit of exercise or cutting down calories or cutting out sugar or something like that over a long duration of time can yield massive weight loss. In one day, it might not have massive results, but over time, magnificent. I have a lot of experience with habit formation. I used to be a full-time public school music teacher, and habit formation is critical in helping children learn to play a musical instrument and get good at it and want to continue it over time. Habit formation is something I'm an expert in. I really have worked with thousands of people on this topic. I'm an expert from the vantage point of the educator. And habit formation does not have so much to do with perfection as it does consistency or repeat return to the event. For example, I'll tell you, there are some children I started in beginner band, maybe fifth grade, sixth grade, depending on where I was teaching. Some of the children I started in beginner band, I never thought would ever continue with band. I never thought they would learn that instrument because that whole first year, their habits were just to show up to band class and play, and that was it. So they didn't go home and practice. They did not have any self-motivated direction about it. They just showed up because the rest of their friends were doing it, and so they were doing it too. Some of those very same children grew up to continue playing in junior high and high school. A couple of them even became musicians as a profession, band directors, various people in this field who did not necessarily have the best habits, but the habit of simply showing up. It's interesting to think about the habit of just showing up. Being there every day, each time you're expected to be, can create marvelous patterns. And again, as I mentioned, successful habits. I myself was that kind of a musician. So I began to learn the piano in third grade. I was 8 years old and my mother started my sister and I in piano lessons. I'm not sure how I got so lucky, but she thought it was a great thing to do. And so it happened. She started us up with Judy McLean, who really was the most patient woman on the planet. I continued lessons with her all the way up through high school. And many of those years, I must confess, I was very bad at practicing. And I would show up at those lessons and try to divert her or change the subject or maybe try to get away with not playing by just talking the whole time. I had a lot of great strategies for my failure to practice. I knew I was guilty. But the fact remains that that consistency over time, going back week after week after week, eventually I was passionately hooked to music. And then I had a piano of my own. Then I was writing music. Then I was driven to go to college to write music for a living. Of course, when I got there, I realized that wasn't necessarily my gift. My real passion was performing music and teaching it. I almost double majored in trumpet performance and teaching, but in the interest of time and hoping to graduate quickly, because I took a long route to get there, I decided to simply do music education and not also performance. So I do know a lot about habit formation from having taught thousands of children to play various instruments and from going on that path myself specifically. There is a figure people quote, it takes 10,000 hours to become good at something or an expert. There's another saying that it takes 21 days as a standard assumption for habit formation. But I have also heard it takes 66 days for a good habit, which is just over 2 months. Now, why does it take so long just to start a habit of some kind? Let's think about this. The makeup of the brain. It's like there's a lot of networks. You might say they're trails in the forest, kind of with a lot of growth happening around them. And if we have a highway of travel, maybe that's the main trail everybody hikes along, and that trail is cleared out, it's open, and every time we want to go down that path, there's no resistance. We can just go there. Well, if we want to carve out a new habit, it's kind of like creating a new trail, and we have to cut the underbrush and pave the way and create that path. So every time we go down it, we start to carve that path. And if you've ever done some hiking in the mountains, you know what I'm talking about. You can see there's a main trail a lot of times. Then you can see these little offshoot trails here and there. And you kind of, at least I think, who did that? Who made that other trail? And why is it so fresh and not very wide? Why does it look like somebody just kind of cut corners there? Well, that's the formation of a new trail to some other place. Maybe it's not an official trail. Maybe it's not one that we want to develop further in that particular location. But the brain's sort of like that too. Anytime we want to have a new habit, we have to spend the time to carve it out so our brain can really tolerate it. So the first thing about habit formation is that habits are a good thing. In the time of COVID-19 and the pandemic, I'll tell you that habits have saved me literally in my health and different areas of my life. So the first thing is that habits can be incredibly valuable and help us with our well-being, especially if they're health-related habits. A second thing about habits is that they can give us sort of a structure that gives meaning to our day. So if we have a particular habit, we can carry it day by day by day, even if it's a small thing, like maybe you're a person who reads a book before you go to bed every night. Or maybe you're a religious person and you read your scriptures each day. Maybe you have a habit of meditation or prayer. Those sorts of things done regularly can bring peace to the heart and help you calm down and kind of think through things. The habit that I started back in October of 2019 was I started to exercise to this video from 1988 that my sister had given me, called The Firm 2. It's the second DVD, and it was made in 1988. It was actually a VHS cassette. I had to find a DVD version online that someone had dubbed. This video is about 65 minutes long, and it includes a weight lifting routine with light to moderate weights, ranging from 3 to 8 or 10 pounds. And it also has some aerobics mixed in, but lots of stretching, and it's really a whole body workout. When I started doing it in October, I had just lost some weight, and I was very happy with it. I wanted to maintain my weight loss. So I started this habit and I declared to myself, if I can do it 3 times a week, that would be good. Now, I haven't always been perfect. A couple of times it's been twice a week because maybe I've been traveling or maybe I used my treadmill and I walked instead or something. But for the most part, I have done that from October through now. It's the end of April 2020. And I've done it for that period of time. So it's been more than 6 months. And I'm really feeling healthy. I'm feeling good. And especially when the world's in commotion and we're just not sure what's going on, getting up early and doing that routine starts my day with a bang. It gives me the energy I need. And even if I'm feeling kind of poor in my spirit or mood, it elevates my thinking and it helps me start my day fantastically well. So I'm very grateful for that habit that I started. And at this point, it is a habit. So every time the DVD is playing, I don't even have to watch it. I know which moves come next. It's the exact same routine every time. And I could probably do it to some other music and not even watch the video at this point. You know, I have it memorized. That habit is something that's been carved out in my brain at this point. It's definitely a habit. There are some tips about habit formation I want to share with you today. Before I do that, I want to talk about you and your habits. We all have habits that are healthy for us and habits that are destructive. Is there a habit in your life that you would like to improve upon, add to, or enhance and make even more predictable, even more routine so that it's really a helpful habit? Is there another habit in your life you'd like to reduce and do less of? When you think about your habits and the kinds of things maybe that are routines, maybe a wake-up routine, maybe a lunchtime routine, or a go-to-bed routine, think about those things and consider what might be working for you and what might be an area that you would like to change. If you adopt a new habit, what might it be? Could it be something as simple as flossing teeth before you go to bed each night? Or drinking herbal tea to kind of have a nice warm beverage that clarifies your body? Could it be something as simple as writing in a journal, picking a time during the day to listen to uplifting music that helps you just detach from whatever's going on? Could it be as simple as writing 3 things you're grateful for once a day, every day? That could be done on a smartphone. You could dictate it. You could write it in a notebook. Probably takes 3 or 4 minutes tops. What habit would you like to adopt to bring some consistency and kind of regularity to things right now. Once you think about that habit, what would you gain by adopting that habit? What positive benefits might you get? Now, when I think about my habit of exercising to the DVD, I think, of course, it's going to help me get the blood pumping, bring the dopamine to my brain. I'm going to be in a better mood. It's going to help me want to drink more water right then because I'm going to be sweating and I'm going to be working out. But also it's going to bring me a greater sense of well-being long-term because I'm exercising regularly. And this is going to keep me at a healthier level as a person. So there are a lot of benefits to the habit that I have adopted. And now I'm just about ready to think about another habit. Maybe I want to add something else to my day. What about you? What habit might you adopt and what would you gain by adopting it? Now, everything that we do, of course, every habit we begin to practice, we're going to lose something by adopting this as well. So when I do my habit, I'm going to lose sleep. If I decide to hang out with my husband and my youngest son, they tend to stay up a little bit late into the evening. If I stay up with them and I don't go to bed at an hour that makes sense for me, then I'm going to wake up having slept only 5 or 6 hours, maybe. And I'm going to be exhausted when I do that exercise. I'm either going to give up evening time visiting and hanging out to go to bed earlier, or I'm simply going to give up sleep to get up and do that habit. But either way, I'm going to give up something. Everything we do, of course, has an opportunity cost. Nothing that we try to adapt just happens in a vacuum. So you gain something here, you lose something there. And what will your habit cause you to lose? The third thing to think about, so the first thing is the gain, second thing is the lose. The third thing is what roadblocks or barriers might stand in your way of adopting the habit. When I think about my habit, I think, well, we went down to Utah for something. So we drove down there and I thought, what's going to stand in my way of doing my exercise? We rented a little place off of Airbnb. It was before the pandemic ever happened. So we had a little more freedom to travel back then. And I just decided to put my weights in my bag and take them in the car. I brought that. I forgot the video, but my son was able to find a copy of that very same video online, the whole 65 minutes. So I was able to do the routine even though we were out of town, and I loved it. It made me feel like things were normal, even though we were on a trip somewhere. What roadblocks will stand in my way? Really nothing at this point, I think. But early on, it would be like my motivation, or I might feel like not getting up early, or I might just not feel like doing it that morning. It's just a long routine. Maybe I have some phone calls to make, or maybe I've got some appointments or meetings that I need to be in for my job. And so there are things that could stand in my way. And at this point, I plan very carefully to make sure it happens anyway, even if it means I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, over time, the habit has become stronger, so it's easier. All right, what assets or resources will support you in a new habit? In your life, you have people around you. You have also technology tools. So there are many things that could support you. If you need someone to help you stay accountable, that's one type of support. Like if you have a friend or a brother or a sister or a wife or a husband or somebody like that in your life, and you want to ask them to check in on you, that's a great way to be accountable. If you don't want somebody reminding you, talking to you about it, asking you about it, and if you know that you're the kind of person that would start to see that as nagging and then you might resent it and that whole path of thinking, then it might be better to use some kind of individualized accountability. Like one thing that I've been doing is writing it down in a tracker, one of the apps on my phone. So it's a goal setting tracker, and it just basically, you write down what you're going to do for the week. And if you've done it, you click yes. And if you haven't, you click no. And at the end of the week, you can see, do you have 3 yeses? If I have 3 yeses out of 7 days, then I've done my habit and I'm very happy with it. If I don't, then I'm going to do something to fix that. You know, I'm going to figure out what has set me back, what held me back from reaching the goal, then I'm going to change it. Whatever kind of support or resources you need, consider technology in there. You can have a smartphone with a note that pops up or a reminder, perhaps an alarm. You could put a reminder on a calendar. You could have a notebook. Or you could have other people. If you like group things, then you might find a Facebook group where you can post. There's a whole movement of minimalism and decluttering going on, and there's a great minimalism group that is just for people who are trying to declutter. get rid of their stuff. So if you want to have a decluttering habit, for example, there's a great group for you. If you want to have a business growing habit, there are plenty of business growing groups out there that you can join for free and talk with them and share your questions and troubles and all kinds of things. You can find communities out there that will give you support in whatever direction you would like to go. What do you need to learn or accept to adopt a new habit? Is there a skill you need to learn? Is there a mindset that would help you open up to the possibility of doing this thing that you might want to do? Is there a thinking pattern you're going to have to think to be able to get yourself to do the thing? Whatever it is, if you need to learn something or accept something to adopt your new habit, it would be helpful to write that down and think through it and just kind of slow down those thoughts and explore them and figure out, well, what do I need to accept? Is there something that I'm just really not willing to admit to myself? What do I really want here? And then next, who do I need to be to make it a successful and lasting habit? Do I need to be the kind of person that says no to myself? Do I need to say no to opportunities that come my way that would conflict with my new habit? Do I need to say no to some other habit I already have so that I have the space to adopt this habit? And lastly, how do I believe I will feel when I am being this way? So imagine yourself in a place where you have developed this habit and created the pattern, and it now is automated for you and it's easy to achieve, and visualize what that's going to be like, what you will feel like when you have made that just an integral part of who you are. Imagine the things that could open up for you in the future when you've adopted your new habit. There are a couple of tips I'm going to give you here. The first one is decide not to decide. So this is all about taking away your possibility for saying no to yourself about the new habit. Once you decide you want the habit, then you need to decide not to decide about it anymore. You're simply going to do it. For example, in the case of the exercise, I started putting my shoes and socks downstairs next to my weights, and then I started setting the computer with the DVD in it for the exercise program. I just left it all in a space downstairs. That way, I didn't feel like I have to set it up, drag it down there, take 20 minutes. It was just too easy to say, you know, that takes way longer than 65 minutes. It's way too big of a routine. I just can't do that today. So setting up the space took away that barrier and helped me realize that I wasn't going to be able to say no to myself. So once you make the decision to have that habit, don't make that decision over and over. Make the decision and then just do it. Your higher brain is that place where you're intentional and you're thinking about things and you're deliberately doing them. And it's going to be like that for quite some time, whether it's 21 days, 66 days, or 10,000 hours. We don't really know exactly what it's going to take for your new habit to form, but what we do know is for quite some time, it's going to have to be intentional and thoughtful and driven by conscious thought from the higher brain. Once you have your habit pretty well formed, automation can take over and it can go down into your more basic part of your brain where you're not going to have to think so much about it. And it's going to be a lot easier. And the resistance is going to be less and less in your life to this new habit you want. So think about that and how you want to be there. Whatever your new habit is, pick something small to start with and something that's going to build you up and help you to feel happier and bring some structure to your life, even if it's 5 minutes once a day, and something that can give you a win where you feel like you're getting somewhere with this thing. And then lastly, I would suggest keeping a record that you can look at to see how far you've come. So on those tougher days where you don't feel like keeping up with a habit that you're developing, if you're really struggling, you can look back at your log and see how many days did I do it, which days did I do it, whether you use an app or a paper calendar or some kind of checklist. Definitely track your progress so you can see all the distance you've come over a period of time, especially to strengthen those weaker moments. I wish you all the best in developing a new habit. There are some really fantastic books out there. There's one called Mini Habits, which is about starting really tiny steps, and it's a great way to get going. Like maybe you're going to do one push-up a day, and then maybe after a week you'll start doing two push-ups a day, and pretty soon you'll be doing 50 push-ups a day over a long period of time. There's also one called Atomic Habits, which is all about creating the person you want to be through small habits over time. No matter what you use to get yourself to a habit that you'd like to have, just remember, it's got to be intentional for a while and it won't be easy right away. But if you make that decision not to keep deciding about the habit, you're going to be okay. I would like to suggest a few habits that you might consider if you're really not sure what you'd like to adopt here. Free writing, to write down your emotions at the end of the day, what you've been feeling. Another kind of free writing would be journaling, or writing your thoughts about something every day. Another habit could be making some kind of music, learning to play an instrument, or simply practicing an instrument, or perhaps singing, even if it's just to the radio or karaoke or something like that. If you're a writer, or if you want to be a writer, you could start with a very short 5-minute writing habit. I did that. It started with 8 minutes a day after Monica Leonelli's book, The 8-Minute Writing Habit, and that got me all the way through the writer's block I was having to write the book that I published this last year. So writing just a small piece of time every day, and if you just sit and make yourself do it, don't worry about the quality, pretty soon you're going to have some great stuff coming out. Maybe you're going to create art or blogging, putting a blog up online. Those can all be daily habits. Just pick one thing. Other habits could be in the spiritual realm. How about a gratitude journal? I mentioned that before. Just write 3 things you're grateful for and that you appreciate in your life. You could have activities that bring meaning and purpose to your life, like reading spiritual books, scriptures, talks from religious figures, and other materials to promote spiritual areas of your life. You could have a daily prayer or meditation practice. Perhaps you have a daily or weekly attendance at church, worship services, or temple. In the mental area, you could have critical thinking skills exercises that you do. You could take a class live or online and participate a little bit every day or every other day. Read a book or a magazine about a topic of interest. In the physical area, you could start a new habit of taking a nap every day or focusing on your sleeping routine so you can get a full 8 hours of sleep every night. Perhaps you might consider an exercise habit, walking for 20 or 30 minutes mindfully, looking around, feeling the air, taking in the present sounds, the smells, and so forth, to really get refreshed during that walk. Maybe you want a diet habit. You want to eat fresh, healthy foods, or certain types of foods, or introducing new foods to your diet. Or maybe you want a habit of reducing certain areas of your diet. In the social area, you might consider seeking opportunities to recharge socially. Maybe it's talking on the telephone or visiting a friend. You could call a friend or family member just to chat or visit 5 minutes every day, short conversation. You could join a group of like-minded people to meet with for support or for church meetings or for some kind of a hobby or interest. You could get to know your neighbors one person at a time. Maybe you want to do some music listening. Listen to your favorite songs that brings the emotions you want to feel. Maybe you want to listen to fast music at 120 beats per minute to create some energy and movement. Or maybe you want to listen to the lyrics that speak to you for some connection and understanding from that music. See, there's a whole lot of ideas here about life habits that you could try on if you're looking for things that promote self-care and wellness and kind of overall well-being. All right. Well, thanks for joining me for this chat about habits. I hope that it serves you well. I hope you'll find one that you want to try on, or maybe a habit that you'd like to strengthen or add a little something to. And as you do that, I wish you all the best in being the best version of you.
This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.